With the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Filling in for Danielle Leal, here's today's host, Brian German.
Good morning and thanks for joining us here at Farm City Newsday from AgNet West. I'm your host, Brian German. Well, that storm that blew in earlier this week brought a pretty substantial amount of rainfall to many areas of California. Downtown Sacramento saw a record of nearly 5.5 inches of rain on Monday, surpassing a 140-year-old record for single-day rainfall. And according to the Department of Water Resources, Lake Oroville saw its water levels rise 20 feet over the past week. And California's Berkeley Central Sierra Snow Lab reported that Donner Pass had received more than 26 inches of snow. Now that the storm has passed, it looks like clear skies for a while, so here's hoping to some more wet weather this winter. Now, moving right along into today's headlines, the ability to appeal USDA decisions when applying for various programs serves an important purpose. Director of Sustainability for Western United Dairies and the California Cattle Council, Aubrey Betancourt, explains the significance of the appellate process.
The important reason for the appeals process existing within the Farm Service Agency is to help the Farm Service Agency be equitable in administering their services, make sure that they are being fair and upholding their mission to serve the farmers and ranchers communities. And the appellate process even extends into NRCS, RMA, and rural development. So even our rural communities have a right to appeal decisions being made by these agencies, again, to make sure that those agencies are doing right by those that they serve. That's one reason why the appellate process exists. The other reason the appellate process exists is so that those four agencies are properly responding to very localized issues.
And now here's AgNet West's Randall Wiseman with a report on the ongoing cotton harvest.
Cotton harvest is moving along in many areas, but USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey notes some areas of the country continue to run behind schedule.
We are seeing three states where the cotton harvest progress is at least 20 percentage points behind the five-year average pace, all three in the southeast. As you move to the west, however, looking much better on harvest progress in the number one production state, Texas, 40% harvested by October 24th. And even further ahead, as you move west into California, producers no doubt there were frantically harvesting in advance of weekend storminess.
Now, 96% of the California crop had bolls opening as of this past Sunday. That compares to 94% last year. 91% is the five-year average. Cotton harvested is at 50%. That compares to 24% last year. 30% is the five-year average. I'm Randall Wiseman for AgNet West Radio Network.
Thanks, Randall. In more news, growth in organic demand is prompting a need to increase organic production. Organic Produce Network co-founder Tonya Antle explained more about the increasing demand for organic and what that means for the industry moving forward.
If you look at some of the data, organic sales soared in 2020 to a new high of nearly $62 billion category, of which $56 billion of that is in food. And I think part of it was the swing to home cooking during the pandemic lockdown. We saw a 12.1% jump in year-over-year sales. So how are we going to meet the demands of the growth of organic at retail? And now that food service is coming back, you know, where are we going to get that? There's not a lot more land out there. But, you know, if we're only 1% of total U.S. farmland, then we're going to have to look at converting more conventional land into organic. So I've always been one to invite conventional farmers to learn more about how to become an organic farmer, to learn how to transition from conventional to organic, to see the benefits of organic farming inputs and all the things we use, not only for their organic production, but also for their conventional production, because we need a bigger tent to grow and meet the demands of the future.
And there will be plenty of opportunity to learn more about the multiple aspects of organic farming at the upcoming Organic Growers Summit taking place at the Hyatt Regency Monterey on December 1st and 2nd. The event will include educational sessions and keynote presentations covering a variety of areas from ag tech to food safety to sustainability. More information on the program and registration is available at organicgrowersummit.com. And now for some news for walnut growers. USDA has set the dates for the California Walnuts Continuance Referendum. California walnuts will have an opportunity to vote on whether to continue their federal marketing order between the dates of December 6th and December 31st. USDA's Agricultural Marketing Service will be mailing ballots and voting instructions to all growers who produced walnuts in California from September 1st of 2020 through August 31st of this year. The marketing order authorizes the California walnut industry and the California Walnut Board to conduct research and marketing promotions, establish quality regulations, and implement volume control under USDA's oversight. USDA will consider continuing the marketing order if two-thirds or more of producers voting in the referendum or producers representing two-thirds or more of the volume of California walnuts vote in favor. A continuance referendum is required every 6 years to determine producers' level of support for the program. And there's also a couple of grower webinars for nut producers coming up next week. The Sacramento Valley Tree Crop IPM webinar is scheduled for Thursday, November 4th, beginning at 7:30 in the morning. The informational webinar is intended for anyone directly involved with pest and disease management in orchard production. Some of the presentations will include navel orangeworm and spider mites in almonds and walnuts, differences in managing bot canker and blight of walnuts from band canker of almonds, along with a quick review of pest management issues ahead of the 2022 season. Later in the day, UC Cooperative Extension will be hosting a walnut freeze webinar beginning at 4 p.m. A panel of UC experts and walnut growers will be discussing best practices for freeze mitigation and recovery. Walnut growers are also being encouraged to fill out a UC survey on freeze damage. More information about each of the webinars can be found at sacvalleyorchards.com. And don't forget, if you've missed any of our morning shows or simply need to catch the news at a different time, you can subscribe to our podcast. Have statewide ag news at your convenience. All you have to do is search Farm City Newsday on your favorite podcast downloading app. You're listening to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. I'm your host, Brian German, and we'll be back in just a moment with more of the day's national headlines and local reports, including our livestock report with Randall Wiseman when we return.
There's giant potential sleeping in your soil. Are you doing anything to wake it up? Phycoterra Soil Microbe Food activates the native microbes that are responsible for your soil's health and crop productivity. Adding Phycoterra to your cropping system increases soil microbial activity by up to 33 times and is proven to increase crop yield and ROI. Plus, its excellent mixability and application flexibility allow you to add it to your existing crop input strategy with a free ride to the field. Visit phycoterra.com to learn how you can wake up your soil's giant potential with Phycoterra.
Wild Eye hopes all their many customers out there are having or had a successful harvest. The folks from Wild Eye are diligently working on their 4G swap and upgrade campaign to keep your systems working. Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. In today's national headlines, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. Fascinating facts about food in America, how and where it is grown and who produces it, are at your fingertips in a new resource produced by the American Farm Bureau Foundation for Agriculture. Food and Farm Facts help answer questions that learners of all ages may have, including, where does our food come from and who grows it? The 32-page full-color book features updated facts and easy-to-read infographics about U.S. agriculture that can be used in various ways to help increase agricultural literacy. The book would be a valuable resource in the classroom, at fairs and events, for student leadership organizations, and when creating social media posts. Copies of Food and Farm Facts may be purchased for $4.25 each. You can order the new Food and Farm Facts book, map, pocket guide, and related products in the series at fb.org/store. Additional Food and Farm Facts products created by the foundation will be available later this fall. the nation's average gas price increased 3.8 cents from a week ago to $3.36 per gallon, according to GasBuddy. The national average is up 17.1 cents from a month ago and $1.21 per gallon higher than a year ago. The national average price of diesel increased 5.9 cents in the last week and stands at $3.58 per gallon. However, according to GasBuddy's Patrick Tahan, who says, quote, there may be some light at the end of the tunnel. The sharp rise we've seen over the last 3 weeks should begin slowing down soon, barring another jump in the price of oil, unquote. The price of crude oil remained under pressure as global fundamentals continued to point out falling oil inventories and not enough supply amidst an energy crunch overseas. OPEC waived off any increases during their October meeting, but will meet again on November 4 and could revisit the decision to hold back production. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm your host, Brian German. And now handing it back off to Randall Wiseman, here's today's livestock report.
Well, in today's livestock news, many countries, including China, have expressed interest in joining the Comprehensive and Progressive Agreement for Trans-Pacific Partnership, otherwise known as CPTPP. U.S. Meat Export Federation Senior Vice President for Asia Pacific, Joel Hager, looks at what this means.
Within a week of each other, China and Taiwan filed formal applications to join the agreement. CPTPP members have maintained an open attitude and have invited other like-minded parties to join. The UK, for example, applied for membership in early February of this year, and formal accession talks started about a month ago. And other economies that have expressed an interest in joining include the Philippines, South Korea, Thailand, and Indonesia. But China's announcement of its application has generated considerable attention. Now, the optimists argue that China's entry into CPTPP would catalyze the reforms that China has long said it would carry out, including selling off or reforming its state-owned enterprises, enforcing intellectual property rights, and opening its financial markets. For agriculture, China would likely have to further lower tariff and non-tariff barriers to imports. And because CPTPP members have so much to potentially gain from China's membership, its application should be taken seriously. Now, just looking at the narrow area of the meat trade, China already has FTAs with Australia and New Zealand. Duties are zero for New Zealand red meat imports into China are already quite low for Australia. But exporters like Canada and Mexico would expect lower duties. But there are other meat trade issues beyond tariffs. Australia currently has major access problems for some of its ag exports to China, including beef. Now, one would think those would have to be addressed. Suppliers may also demand more streamlined access procedures for meat plants, such as under the U.S.-China Phase 1 agreement. But the point is, China will have to address these market access demands from all members and for all commodities of interest. So members are going to be interested now in hearing more details from China on how it proposes to meet this quote-unquote high free trade standard.
Now, Haggard noted that China is already the world's largest meat importer, but being the market still has enormous potential for growth, that country's application for membership holds significant appeal for prospective suppliers. And it's time to submit nominations for the American Sheep Industry Association Awards. The winners of these awards will be presented during the 2022 ASI Annual Convention. That'll be held in San Diego on January 19th through 22nd. There are five awards open for nominations: the McClure Silver Ram Award, the Camp Tender Award, the Distinguished Producer Award, the Industry Innovation Award, and the Shepherd's Voice Award. All of these award nominations must be in by November the 19th, and past recipients of any of these awards, of course, are not eligible. You can learn more about this by simply going to the ASI website, sheepusa.org. But again, all award nominations need to be in by November 19th. I'm Randall Wiseman for Agnet West.
This is Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm your host, Brian German. We'll be right back in just a moment with more agriculture news.
There's giant potential sleeping in your soil. Are you doing anything to wake it up? Phycoterra Soil Microbe Food activates the native microbes that are responsible for your soil's health and crop productivity. Adding Phycoterra to your cropping system increases soil microbial activity by up to 33 times and is proven to increase crop yield and ROI. Plus, its excellent mixability and application flexibility allow you to add it to your existing crop input strategy with a free ride to the field. Visit phycoterra.com to learn how you can wake up your soil's giant potential with Phycoterra.
Wild Eye hopes all their many customers out there are having or had a successful harvest. The folks from Wild Eye are diligently working on their 4G swap and upgrade campaign to keep your systems working. Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Welcome back to Farm City News Day by AgNet West. I'm your host, Brian German. In today's interview segment, we are joined by Aubrey Betancourt, the Director of Sustainability for the California Cattle Council and Western United Dairies. And we're getting into some of the details about applying for various programs and assistance that's available from USDA. And in a recent newsletter, you sort of highlighted the fact that when a producer gets a no from the Farm Service Agency, that isn't necessarily the end of the line there. There are some other avenues available to potentially get a more favorable response for potential projects or assistance being sought. So I thought we could kind of get into what that process entails and how might producers be able to get a second chance of sorts when applying to various programs or funding opportunities.
Sure. So, you know, what is so unique and what I, and you'll always hear me be a champion for USDA and Farm Service Agency, especially, but what is so unique about the Farm Service Agency is it is completely focused on you, the producer. And it is the only, one of the few, if not the only, branches of the federal government where you as a citizen can appeal the decision of that agency. And so what's important for producers to understand is they have that right to appeal. And that there is a process that they can go through. Now, is it pleasant? Nope. Does it take time? Yep. But the important reason for the appeals process existing within the Farm Service Agency is twofold. One, it is to help the Farm Service Agency to be equitable in administering their services, make sure that they are being fair and upholding their mission to serve the farmers and ranchers communities of the United States. And the appellate process even extends into NRCS, RMA, Risk Management Agency, and rural development. So even our rural communities have a right to appeal decisions being made by these agencies. Again, first and foremost, to make sure that those agencies are doing right by those that they serve. That's one reason why the appellate process exists. The other reason the appellate process exists within those four agencies is so that those four agencies are properly responding to very localized issues. In the world of farming and ranching and dairy farming and conservation and even our rural communities, we're dealing with very hyper-localized, hyper-specific issues at times. Something that works or is needed in Tulare County, California may not apply or be the exact same thing that works or is needed in Tupelo County, Mississippi. So, you know, and yet the programs that they're administering are administered nationwide. So it's also about allowing for those unique flexibilities and those unique responsivenesses or opportunities to be responsive from the agencies to you. So it's a really important process for the producer to be engaged in order to make the agency perform better on multiple fronts. So let's say you apply for the emergency conservation program and you feel that the decision by your county committee on whether or not to accept your application is denied, that they felt that your application didn't apply appropriately for whatever reason. So the process is this. You apply for emergency conservation program. You're waiting to hear back from the county committee on whether or not your application is accepted and that that program will be turned on for you and for your county. And the committee decides you didn't qualify. So the committee will write you a letter back with their reasoning why they believe that to be true. If you disagree with that, you have every right to, within 30 days, call your local office and say, I wish to file an appeal. And you will send in written notice of your intent to appeal. At that point, you'll go, at least on the Farm Service Agency side, you'll be able to go before the county committee and plead your case there and negotiate there, or discuss it there. And should it not be resolved at that level, it can go up to the state committee, which is an appointed committee of farmers, ranchers, and industry representatives. They then, you will be able to appear before them and work with the state staff to discuss the terms of your appeal. And they will make a decision one way or the other. And if they decide, or you feel you want to appeal to a higher level, you can even appeal to the National Office of Appeals, where there will be, there's an entire division of USDA whose job it is to handle these types of appellate processes, go through the consideration and work with you and staff, to reconcile or come to some sort of a solution or arrive at a conclusion. So long story short, if for some reason you feel that the decision made, you want to have an opportunity to go before your county committee and make your case to them or have a conversation with them about how the program works. Maybe you feel the program is too limited and we need to get that fixed. Or maybe you feel the interpretation of the program just didn't understand your circumstances well enough and you feel it does qualify. You have every right to call your local county office to notify them that you will be appealing in writing and to appear before your committee and start that process.
Yeah, and that seems like an incredibly important avenue that's available, because applying for some of these types of programs can be a trying process, and maybe a producer didn't necessarily explain their project in the best way, or maybe there's some confusion about how the project maybe not fitting into a particular program, but this appeals process sort of serves as a secondary opportunity to provide some further detail or maybe better explain what a project is or how it might fit into the parameters of whatever program they might be applying for. And ultimately, it might prove to be successful in turning that initial denial of an application into an approval.
Yeah, I think absolutely. And that's, again, the intent. This really just also brings into play like the greater appreciation and understanding of the county elections for your county committee, and the importance of those positions. It really is so important that each county has members of the farming and dairy and ranching community, the peers of the county, there and available to help staff understand what's going on the ground, to help staff inform them of what the processes are, have staff help the county committee understand, the challenges, complexities, nuances, or flexibilities or inflexibilities of the program so that we can create better services for our farming and ranching community. So, every time that notice goes around that those county committee elections are up, I cannot express to you how important it is for people to engage in that and to volunteer for that position. It is so important for you to have a voice within the agency so that the agency, this big monolithic thing, actually can take into account your needs on the ground in Sonoma County, your needs on the ground in Kern County. It is such an important part of that representative aspect that USDA is so uniquely known for.
Well, very good. Aubrey Betancourt, Director of Sustainability for Western United Dairies and the California Cattle Council, providing some insight on how producers might get a second chance to get those applications for assistance approved by USDA. And we'll be back in just a moment with more agriculture news here on Farm City Newsday. I'm your host, Brian German, with AgNet West Radio Network.
There's giant potential sleeping in your soil. Are you doing anything to wake it up? Phycoterra Soil Microbe Food activates the native microbes that are responsible for your soil's health and crop productivity. Adding Phycoterra to your cropping system increases soil microbial activity by up to 33 times and is proven to increase crop yield and ROI. Plus, its excellent mixability and application flexibility allow you to add it to your existing crop input strategy with a free ride to the field. Visit phycoterra.com to learn how you can wake up your soil's giant potential with Phycoterra.
Wild Eye hopes all their many customers out there are having or had a successful harvest. The folks from Wild Eye are diligently working on their 4G swap and upgrade campaign to keep your systems working. Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money and use water effectively. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. In today's national headlines, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. FFA members and supporters from across the country will celebrate agriculture and agricultural education this week during the 94th National FFA Convention and Expo. Held virtually last year, the event will once again be held in person and hosted by the City of Indianapolis starting Wednesday with some virtual components. FFA members from across the country are expected to participate in the event. Those who will not participate in person will have an option to participate in online components, ranging from the virtual FFA Blue Room to student and teacher workshops to general sessions. Those attending in person will be able to participate in general convention sessions hosted at Lucas Oil Stadium and the Expo, located in the Indiana Convention Center, and explore various career paths open to them. General convention sessions will be aired live on RFD-TV and the Cowboy Channel and streamed on FFA.org. To learn more, visit convention.ffa.org. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm your host, Brian German. A draft of the Natural and Working Lands Climate Smart Strategy was recently released for review and public feedback. The draft document was developed after several months of public engagement that included regional workshops, questionnaires, and advisory panels. Comments on the draft strategy will be accepted through November 9th. The document will be used as a framework for increasing engagement of California landscapes in working towards environmental goals. The Natural and Working Lands Climate Smart Strategy is being developed in response to Governor Gavin Newsom's executive order to embrace more nature-based solutions to issues of climate change. A definition of California's natural and working landscapes are outlined in the draft with descriptions as to how they can be used to support climate goals. Opportunities for climate-smart land management are highlighted in the draft strategy, along with options for tracking progress. Nearly 200 opportunities to scale climate-smart practices across the state are also outlined. And a U.S.-led climate initiative will be formally announced during next month's COP26 UN Climate Change Conference. USDA's Rod Bain has the report.
As the United Nations' latest climate change conference, COP26, approaches, among the efforts to be officially announced during the two-week event in Glasgow, Scotland,
our aim for climate initiative,
with Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack discussing what longhand is known as the Agriculture Innovation Mission for Climate during a recent Norman Borlaug Dialogue panel session. He describes this climate-based initiative as
an effort to try to sustain, encourage, and to invest in additional innovation in this space and to make sure that best practices and that information is shared among nations.
With investments channeled into scientific breakthroughs through traditional ag research, public and private applied R&D, and deployment of such innovation in a practical manner. The U.S. is a lead nation in this initiative, supported by 30 countries. More information is available online at www.aimforclimate.org. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Ron. And just as a reminder, the California Department of Food and Agriculture is currently accepting applications for the State Water Efficiency and Enhancement Program. Ag operations have the opportunity to apply for up to $200,000 for projects that involve improvements to irrigation systems, reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and save water. The application window will end on January 18th or earlier if funding is exhausted. I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit AgNet West online at agnetwest.com. Get even more connected by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching at AgNet West, and our team of Brian German at Brian German AgNet West and Danielle Leal with at D Leal AgNet West. This has been Farm City Newsday by AgNet West.